The Business Buzz Podcast.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to The Business Buzz right here on VAW FM 88.1 for your weekly roundup of business and economics news. My name is Mudiwa Mob, Justice Gawaz, and I'm joined in studio by my partner in crime, Miss Hlengiwe Zondo. How are you, Hlengiwe?
I'm good, thanks. Hello, everybody.
Are you well?
I'm well, thanks. And you?
No, I'm all right. How's been your week?
The week has been somewhat productive,
somewhat.
But there's always room for improvement.
I like that, somewhat. Okay, so we are here until about 7 p.m. We're broadcasting live from our studios right here in Bramfontein, Johannesburg. And as I said, we're here until about 7 p.m. Coming up for the next hour or so, we're going to be discussing the business of waste and recycling. And the reason why we're doing this is because from the 1st of July, the city of Johannesburg has actually implemented I'm going to use Hlengiwe's choice of words here and say it's a somewhat mandatory recycling program where they're encouraging people to be recycling. They're going to be getting people to have two sets of waste. You can have your, I'm going to call it decomposable or waste that can be decomposed, that's naturally decomposable, like your garden waste. And then you have your dry goods, that's your processed goods, such as plastics, papers, metal, and glass. So those are the two sort of types of goods that will be getting recycled. At the moment, they've actually implemented it in a number of areas around the city, and they've gone to places like Lone Hill, Kyalami, and Midrand, for example. But the interesting thing for me is that they actually want to make this mandatory across the city, and the program has started, as I said, from the 1st of July, but they aren't punishing you yet. So they just want you to get used to this idea of recycling.
Knowing humans, I wonder how effective that's going to be. Firstly, I'm curious about the monitoring.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it would be more effective if it was incentive based.
Do you recycle?
I try. I'm not as efficient as I could be. It depends. You know, there's some months where I look at, like we were saying much earlier, looking at the ice that's breaking apart in the North Pole and climate changes. And then there are days where you feel a lot more guilty,
yeah,
and you want to contribute, you want to contribute a bit more. And then on those
to
days,
the
yes, you want to contribute a lot more. You do better. And then there's days where you just kind of slip off and you forget that, you know, that we only have one Earth.
Yeah.
And we need to just make sure we take good care of it.
Yeah, well, for me, I can definitely say that, you know, recycling has sort of been part of my life for a while. My parents are part of an organization called Lions International, and one of their drives in our community is they have a small recycling plant. So
yeah,
at home we have different like boxes and stuff for like tin cans, for like plastic and stuff like that.
That's a great starting point.
They actually turn like old plastic, like if you've ever had milk in like a plastic carton and stuff like that, they actually melt that down, turn that into like plastic cups and plates, and then, you know, they give that out in communities, you know, for people that don't have
leadership,
you know, yeah, cups. So for me, I can see the value.
Leadership, I see it too. Don't worry, I see it too.
But otherwise, that's how our show is looking. We are talking the issue of waste and recycling, the business case for this. On the other side of this, we are going to be getting into the main topic. We're going to be talking to Jan Palm, who is a consulting engineer and landfill designer, around the landscape of waste management and recycling in South Africa. And then we're also going to be talking to Stan Almedro, who is from My Waste South Africa, around the actual business case for recycling in South Africa. And then also coming up for in the next couple of minutes, we're going to be getting into our business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And for today, we have Zanele Kunene. And then on the other side of that, Hlengiwe is going to be giving us the state of your 100 Rand on our Buffalo Index. You can stay in touch with us. Keep in touch with us on social media. Get the conversation going on social media. Hlengiwe, how can people keep in touch with us?
Yeah, so our business troopers can find us on, they can find and follow us on Voice of Wits FM 88.1. And they can also find us on the following social media platforms. On Facebook, we are VAW FM, Voice of Wits. and Vets Radio Academy.
Yeah.
On Twitter, we are at VowFM, and our hashtag is Business Buzz. Our WhatsApp line is 084-078-4912. They can also stream us live on www.vowfm.co.za. And we do also have our podcasts available on www.vits.journalism.co.za/business. So make sure you keep it locked until 7 p.m. because we are right here to keep you entertained on all things business.
On the other side of this, we get into our business wrap. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into our business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And on the line, we're joined by a financial expert. We have Zanele Kunene from BDO Wealth Advisors. How are you, Zanele?
I'm good. How are you?
No. I'm doing all right. So how's our week looking? How's the markets, the economy, all of it? What's going on?
Well, I'll start with the headline inflation, aka CPI, results that came out. So what we see from the CPI is that it rose from 4.6% to about 5.1%. So that means your grocery basket is just a bit more expensive than it was in June. It was in July. It was just a bit more expensive. And that was due to the cost of transport and household goods, which we saw increase quite a lot. And I also read that we are expecting that the fuel hike to increase, another fuel hike to be coming our way. So that's so worrying.
Very worrying.
And the core inflation, very, very worrying. Core inflation also came out, the results came out of that. And the thing about core inflation that's so important is that it's at your income compared to the cost of buying goods and services.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's very, very important.
Yeah.
So a lot of analysts are saying that the central bank as well as investors are looking at the results of the core inflation. And the results are as follows. We rose from 4.2 to about 4.3.
Yeah.
And what that means for you and I is that as a consumer, your income, excluding expenses such as food and fuel and stuff, in comparison to the price of goods and services, has become weaker. Your buying power has become weaker.
Yeah.
So the price of goods and services has increased, but our income has not increased. Okay.
Big problem.
But that is. But it's in line with what the Reserve Bank. The inflation right now is still in line with what the Reserve Bank is looking for, which is in the target between 3% to 6%. But they did also warn that will be re-looking or reviewing the interest rates due to the increase in inflation as well as the pressures on the rand. So they will be reviewing that.
In terms of that, I just wanted to check very quickly. Why don't we hear more about core inflation being reported in the news? I think a lot of us, when we're listening to the business news or reading the business press, we always hear about CPI. But from what you're now talking about, it seems this core inflation is very important.
Yeah, it is. I think the main focus is everyone wants to know what your basket can buy. No one really wants to focus on the core inflation. This gives a general outlook of the entire economy and your spending or your spending as the consumer. So I think as consumers, we should look more into the core inflation and just be more more active in terms of getting to know what's actually happening in our economy.
Okay, thank you. And then in terms of that as well, I understand that what's going on with the rand. Last week we were having a bit of a tizzy about the rand.
Last week the rand was at about 15 rand. Can you imagine? An entire 15 rand. It dropped about 10% because of the USA and the Turkey drama that's currently happening. So a lot of investors pulled out of emerging markets. And one thing I saw was that in South Africa, we had about a foreign direct outflows that is at its all-time highest. So a lot of investors are pulling out of South Africa. We also saw that rand slipped because of the headline inflation results that came out. Also because of Julius, my word, because when he announced or when he introduced the bill to nationalize the central banks, investors get worried when they hear anything that that's happening in the central bank. Not forgetting the USA and China drama that's affecting the global economic growth. So the rand took quite a hit. But we did regain, we did recover, and we recovered because of Donald Trump. Let us take a moment for this man.
I think you're the first person to say something like this in a while.
Yeah,
something that we should be thankful for.
But I'm going to take it back. But let me first say it. So the rand recovered because Trump criticized the Federal Reserve Bank. So the dollar did weaken and we became strong. But after today, after Trump tweeted about the land expropriation and the USA must look into South Africa, I don't know how the rand's going to go now. He has taken back the gain that he's given us. I don't know.
That is such a problem. I think it's something that we're definitely going to have to be watching over the next couple of weeks because, Trump's comments seem to move the markets. And especially now that, the ANC has given us their position and the EFF has their definite position. Now it's up to the actual market to actually dictate what's going to happen. Which way do you think it's going to go in the next coming months?
I think in the next couple of weeks, the rand might become a bit weaker, but I think we are good right now at about 14 rand 20, 14 rand 50. I'm not too sure if we're going to go back to 13 rand 50, maybe not now, maybe in about November. But for now, I think the rand will stay at about your 14 rand 30 to about your 14 rand 50.
Okay, so that was us on the line. We're talking to our financial expert. That was Zanele Kunene, who is from BDO Wealth Advisors, giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. As you heard, the big stories is the fact that our CPI has risen. Consumer price inflation has actually risen from 4.6 to 5.1%, but it's within the 3-6% target inflation from the central bank. And then she was just highlighting to us that core inflation is a number that we should all be taking note of because we are looking at our actual buying power as consumers and earning potential. And then the other thing is just the rand has actually gained quite a bit. I think last week Ken was telling us about the shock that happened when Turkey did its thing on Monday last week. So that's us in terms of our business wrap. Thank you so much to Zanele for that. On the other side of this, Slinge will be telling us the state of your 100 rand with our business that was on the business wrap, but this will be for the Buffalo Index. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into the state of your 100 rand in a segment we like to call the Buffalo Index. I'm not sure how long it's going to be the Buffalo Index for, especially now that our buffaloes now have Mandela faces on them.
That's so true. That's a good one. I'm not too keen on changing it to the Mandela Index.
Not yet.
I feel like I love Mandela and I always will. I feel like he's honored in many different places and platforms, and
but for now the Buffalo.
For now, we'll just call it the Buffalo. Okay. And so further north, we could always call it the Winnie Index.
Oh, nice one! I see what you did there.
Yes,
I see what you did there.
Awesome.
So, how's it looking for today?
So, let's get into it. Today, we're talking recycling and waste. So, I mean, a great starting point for people like myself who are into like entry level recycling. I think the first point of call would be wanting to get your recycling bins. Because it's kind of difficult to separate your trash if you're still putting it in the same place. So the first starting point would be, there are big gym recycling. There's a big gym recycling set that's available for just under 5 buffaloes. It's 459. You can get that at Macro. And it comes in 3 colors. You can get a yellow, a red, and a blue. And so for your yellow, you'd be able to putting in your drinking cans. And then your red, you can like put in your glass and your plastic bottles. And then the blue one would be for like paper.
Yep.
And in terms of your decomposable waste management, you are able to get it's called an Earth Probiotic Bokashi Food Waste Digester.
That's a very long, complicated title.
It is,
title,
but yeah. Basically it's just a food digester, and it digests your scraps. And you can get that for 179 rand, so just under 2 buffaloes. And basically you're just taking your composting to a whole new level with this nutrient-rich fermented wheat bran. And what it does is really, it's just like a perfect indoor composting solution. It's quick, it's convenient, it's odor-free, which is really important. And what it does, it takes all sorts of scraps, like including bread, dairy, and even meat. And it helps you in terms of composting your scraps. And that's, I think, a phenomenal idea. And then number 3 on our list, we have out of 5, we have something called packaging. And they basically have a trailer that allows people to bring their waste to a location in exchange for money, which is loaded onto their personal membership cards. And since the launch of packaging in Langa in Cape Town, the community has recycled a whopping 136,509 kgs of material, and in turn they've earned 1,383 buffaloes, which is 138 rand, 314 rand, and that's a lot of money. And really what it does is just highlighting the fact that recyclable packaging materials do have value. And I mean, this has picked up a lot in the informal settlements. I think this would be a great idea even for corporate social investment. To look at investing in projects of this nature. So that's our number 3. And then in terms of, we have a number 4, which is a backpack, which is made from recycled goods. And I think, I mean, almost especially, looking at it from a university perspective, when you look at the number of backpacks that are on campus, imagine the kind of impact, just VITS alone, the kind of impact we would make if all our backpacks were made from recycled goods.
Yeah, but how much does it cost? Because students, that's the problem with students. Students are price sensitive.
You would be so, they are price sensitive, but you would be so shocked that a lot of people, especially something like a bag, it's like a more long-term investment, because you're looking at using it for like a minimum of a year. And so you want to make sure you get something strong, something that's durable, something that's going to last. And a lot of the bags are already within the range of like 7 to 10 buffaloes for a really good bag. And I mean, the producing companies can look at different products and materials to make sure that they cater to like a range of people with regards to affordability. But this specific one, which is a Re-Kankin, that's a brand, recycled backpack, is 10 buffaloes, which is 1,027 rand, and it's made from recycled polyester material, and that's like available online. So yeah, and then on number 5 on our list, we have a recycled memo that's made from recycled aluminium, and that's just perfect for boardroom use, and that is available for just under 9 buffaloes at 855 rand, and that's more for a business setting. It's called the brand is the Saunders recycled memos. So those are our top 5 for our recycled products for today.
Which one for you?
For me, I really am keen on the impact that the packaging is making, because that's looking at like community level. So that's the trailer, the packaging trailer that lets people submit their waste and in return for money. I think it's a win-win situation for everyone. So if we could have that at just basically every sort of neighborhood, or I think that would make a great impact. So I'm really, really excited about something like that, especially like if we had like one at VITS. Students are looking to make money, and the recycling companies can also make money off the products once they've been the recycled material once they've been submitted. So I think it's a win-win for everyone. I like that the most.
Okay, cool.
And you?
No. For me, I think the recycled memos, just because I think in a boardroom setting that would be an interesting conversation starter.
Yeah.
As you can see, our memos are made from recycled what. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We are a, you know, and then you start, you know, pitching your ideas.
Business with a heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's our Buffalo Index for today. As you heard, we are talking waste management and recycling on today's show. On the other side of this, we get into our main topic. Keep it locked. Business Buzz.
More justice on the Business Buzz.
Welcome back. This is the Business Buzz right here on VAW FM 88.1. We are talking all things waste and recycling today. On today's show, we're looking at, is recycling something that we should all be concerned about? Is it something that businesses, organizations, you as individuals should be concerned with? Is there any money to be made? Why should we be concerned about these things? Because you know that a lot of these things actually come down to the rands and the nairas. So on the line, we are actually joined by Jan Palm, who is the CEO and Director of JPCE Specialist Consulting Engineers. He is a consulting engineer and landfill designer, and he's going to be sharing some of his thoughts around recycling, what the business case is, and how we should be going forward to tackle this. How are you, Jan?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm fine, thank you. Very quickly, you have a very interesting title, a consulting engineer and landfill designer. What does that actually entail? Because I think a lot of us have seen things like landfills. What actually goes into designing a landfill, and what does what are you doing on a daily basis?
Landfill design is only one part of the work that we do. We are actually waste management consultants.
Yeah.
So we design all the waste management infrastructure, which is landfills and recycling facilities and composting facilities, and so forth. What is involved in a landfill? A landfill is basically, a suitable piece of land where you, excavate some of the soil, the clay soil, and then line the hole that you have created with a combination of clay and plastic and textiles to make sure that the waste that you put inside that hole, that it does not come into contact with the groundwater.
Yeah.
So that's in short how we design a landfill. It's quite complicated and highly technical, but.
So from a business point of view, in terms of designing the landfills and the waste management, when there's a landfill, for example, like the process you've just explained, is the intention to keep the waste in a landfill or for it to then go and then get separated out and used for other processes? Or are we saying that this is the final stop for the waste and then we cover up the hole, or we let the pile grow and then from there we just forget about it?
Well, landfilling is the last stop. Once you have landfilled waste, to try and recover that waste is extremely expensive, and everything that's in there is contaminated. So it's not the way you should do it. You should actually not landfill any material of value. So you must make sure that in your waste stream, from the generation of waste to the collection, you have to divert all the materials of value from the landfill, and in the end you must only landfill the material that you can do nothing with. So you should not put recyclables or organic waste or garden waste or builder's rubble. You should not put that in your landfill. We have been doing that, and we are still doing that in South Africa, but fortunately the legislation is changing so that we are now forced, or the municipalities are now forced, to divert as much waste from landfills as possible.
And then I guess whilst we are on this, is there a distinction? It really does sound like, from what you're saying, because you're saying that landfills are sort of like a final stop. So do you, in your line of work, give a distinction between waste management and recycling?
Recycling is part of waste management. We are used to in this country to basically collect waste from houses and businesses and then just transport it to a landfill and dispose of it. And the way the waste management strategy of the country is written is that we must collect it and then we must try and reduce that volume of waste by taking out all the materials of value and then only dispose of the remainder of the waste. All of those processes is called integrated waste management.
Yeah.
So recycling is just one part of it.
Oh, I see. see. Okay, I can see the distinction. I can see the distinction that you're making there. So the ongoing narrative is that recycling is the way to go when it comes to ideal waste management, but that in a lot of cases, people's habits are the problem. Do you agree with this, or are there economically smarter ways to be dealing with our trash?
Well, recycling, if you say that recycling is the way to go, it is one of the ways to go.
Okay.
And it should be part of every waste management system.
Yes.
But so should composting and the crushing of your builder's rubble and the extraction of energy from your organic waste portion, and disposal. All of them are processes within waste management. If one looks specifically just at recycling, all those processes, except the crushing of builder's rubble, are more expensive than what landfilling would be. For instance, if you dispose of waste in a newly built engineered landfill, then the cost of that waste disposal would be in the vicinity of 200 to 300 rand a ton.
Yeah.
If you recycle waste, the cost to recycle waste is in the vicinity of about 1,000 rand a ton, because you have to collect it separately, you have to sort it, you can sell it, but all those costs, the net cost of recycling is in the vicinity of about 1,000 rand a ton of recyclables. Composting will cost you about 700 to 800 rand a ton. So those functions of waste management are more expensive than what disposal would be, but it is the correct thing to do in order to save our planet. All these waste diversion options is something that we have to subsidize, but it is what we have to do. It's not you know, let's go and do the cheapest option, which is disposal. We must do recycling and we must do composting.
I think something that's now becoming clear from what you are talking about is just the fact that there's so many different ways in which we can be dealing with our waste. Now, from a business point of view, what is the business case for actually dealing with waste or recycling? That's the first question. And then the second one is, out of the different options that you've been talking about, whether it's using waste for energy, composting, recycling, which one tends to make the most economic sense from a business point of view?
Okay, if one talk about economic sense, then you must differentiate between economic sense and financial sense.
Yeah.
Financial sense is around the same. economic sense is a bit more complicated, because there's a cost to the environment as well.
Yeah.
And that is why if one look at the economic sense of recycling, then it makes sense, because we cannot just keep on using our resources of the planet and just discarding it when we're done with it. We have to reuse it, and that is why recycling is important. So economically, we have to recycle, it makes sense. We have to produce compost, it makes sense. We have to crush our builder's rubble and use it as filling material or G7 and road building, because it makes economic sense. If you say which one is best, let's take a typical municipality and we say, okay, we are going to recycle, then it means that the municipality must build a recycling facility. That will cost them money.
Yeah.
And then normally they will just write that off. Now, consider that to be grant money. And then they normally need somebody to operate that recycling facility. They can't operate a facility with municipal labor, because municipal labor is expensive. So that's why the private sector is basically doing recycling, because then you can look at paying salaries above minimum wage, not above municipal labor costs. And if one look at that, then it means that at the current selling value of recyclables, you need in the vicinity of about 8 to 10 tons of general waste per day to sustain one worker at minimum wage. Okay, because you have to pay the guy to sort the waste, and the cost that you can get for selling that recycled material versus what he earns the salary, you know, you need about 10 tons of waste per day for one worker. So if one look at how many tons of waste you have in your municipality, let's say you do 100 tons a day, it means that you can only employ 10 people for recycling at minimum wage. So there's not a lot of gold in recycling, but it makes a big difference on the landfill in terms of the airspace that you save, because if you look at it economically, then you have to calculate in the cost of saving the airspace, the capacity of the landfill, instead of using it, versus what you pay the worker to do the sorting. And you have to factor in the selling price. So if you say that the municipality will pay for the capital cost of the infrastructure, then the operating side of it can break even, and there's actually a business case there. But if you want to pay back the capital to build the facility from what you get from your sales of recyclables, then you are dead in the water, because you will never be able to do that financially. But the operating side alone can survive with the sales of the recyclables.
I think finally our last question will then be around the actual take up of waste management locally in South Africa. Are businesses actually doing what they can to effectively manage their waste? Because you've just brought up the point that there's a difference between something that makes economic sense and something that makes business sense. So on that level, is there a will? Because something might not make financial sense for a business, but in the long term, it might make the economic sense that you're talking about. So currently in South Africa, are businesses doing what they can to effectively manage waste, or is it still something that we need to be convincing people, organizations, and governments to be doing?
There are a number of private companies doing or making a business out of waste management. That number is growing. The interesting thing is that whenever you let's say you package a business case, you must make it beneficial for the businesses. For instance, if you say to a guy, okay, you must do just the recycling, then it will be financially tough. But if you add the recycling to something like the collection and transport of the waste, then you are giving him sectors within the waste field where he can actually make a profit, which can subsidize the recycling or the composting. So one has to package this whole deal in terms of making opportunities for the businesses to actually create wealth and to make sure that they are financially sustainable.
That was us. We're on the line with Jan Palm, who is the CEO and director of JPCE Specialist Consulting Engineers. He is a consulting engineer and landfill designer, and he was just giving us a roundup of what the waste management and recycling landscape looks like in South Africa. One of the big takeaways from what he's saying is that recycling and waste management is something that needs to be done. Two key points for me is the fact that recycling is not the only way to deal with waste management. He made the distinction that there is a number of things that can be done, such as composting, for example, or crushing the waste, or using waste to actually create or generate power. And then the second thing was just the fact that he distinguished between waste management making economic sense, which is sort of a more long-term view that you can make a plan to do something that will benefit the economy, the community, or the environment over the long term, or you can make something that makes financial sense, because he was saying that the act of recycling and effectively managing waste can at times be too burdensome from a financial point of view for institutions and companies to undertake. So that was us. On the other side of this, we continue with this discussion around waste, around recycling, and what the business case is. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
You can join in the conversation on social media. Let us know what you think. Are you recycling in your own lives? Is this something that, are we touching a special place in your heart right now, making you want to recycle or at least get into the recycling business? I mean, if you're not going to recycle for the planet, at least recycle to make some money. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But otherwise, let us know what you think on Facebook. We are Vow FM. That's Voice of Vids. And then you can also find our Facebook page. We also have the Vids Radio Academy Facebook page. On Twitter, we are at Vow FM. And then the hashtag is hashtag business buzz. It's time for us to sort of get more into the business, the actual rands and the nairas around recycling.
Yes. The soap business, the business of waste. So, on the line with us, we are joined by marketing manager from My Waste South Africa, Stan Almendro. Hi, Stan.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Oh, we're doing well. We're so excited to have you join us today. Primarily, we want to just find out what does My Waste South Africa do?
My Waste South Africa is a company, it's a group of companies extensively involved in waste management concept and in recycling, and then with products that come out of recycling plastic. So My Waste, if you went to the My Waste website, there's a database there, which is a platform for anybody in South Africa to find where to drop off or to deliver waste products, not just plastic, glass, steel, rubber, whatever. So, you know, people can go to the widget on the website, and then if they've got to dispose of plastic, they can say what kind of plastic. Maybe there's 7 or 8 different kinds. They then put in the area where they live or where their factory is, and they can, from our website, find out what's the nearest place within a radius of 5 or 10 kilometers to drop off their waste. So My Waste is extensively involved in the waste management and in recycling and manufacture of plastic products made from recycled plastic.
Awesome. I mean, for our listeners who might not be in the know, what is the benefit of recycling? What is it? What is the environmental, social, or economic benefit, if any?
First of all, it's a responsibility of all. That's all of us. And the advantage of it is, I think the prime advantage should be to clean up the environment getting the environment clean. And from there, the advantages are that, A, it can create jobs, much needed jobs in South Africa. And there is money to be earned in the products that come from recycled plastic, recycled glass, whatever material that is being recycled, because it goes back into the system and new products are made. So it's not only a financial benefit, but the main purpose, and this is why My Waste is involved, it's cleaning up the environment. When one looks at the oceans and see the plastic, we are actually busy looking at how we can be involved in even cleaning up the oceans with plastic that is just all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it was also just a recent profile of a turtle that actually had been stuck on a plastic waste product that could have died, but it was fortunately assisted by some people. So that's a very important point that you bring up.
Yes.
What has been the general mood and sentiment in South Africa in terms of just receptiveness to, you know, the lifestyle of recycling?
I think the mood is sort of, there is an interest, but, you know, interest has to become an action. So while there is an interest, I think there's a few issues we might touch on it with a question that you give me. I don't think the public is totally informed. There's a fair amount of ignorance. There's an awareness that people need to be made aware. But the mood is right.
I mean, how do we go about doing that? How do we go about encouraging people or informing them and educating them on the importance?
This is where My Waste plays a big role. We go out with awareness programs wherever we can. We do talks. The owner of My Waste, which is a man called Mark Gibson, he serves on many of the waste associations and the plastic forum in South Africa, and we're very involved right at that level and down to the public, into schools, wherever we can. It's an awareness program to try and break through maybe the ignorance, and I don't think the ignorance is deliberate, but not enough people know, first of all, the disadvantages of having a waste lying around, and they also need to know the advantages. So if we can start educating the younger generation and the older, households, factories, people all around us, we need to start educating and bringing about an awareness of A, the disadvantages or the dangers, and also the advantages of recycling, keeping the environment clean.
You touched on it slightly earlier on, but I just wanted to find out, what are the current or past projects that you might want to highlight that our listeners can get involved in?
Yes, we there's quite a few. First of all, I don't know if you've heard of the term which says separation at source.
Yes.
Now, separation at source involves right down to home level, school level, and what My Waste has done there, we've designed a what we call a bin separator. You know, the wheelie bin that everybody, or just about every house uses? So right at that level now, we put this bin separator into the bin, with two of them going to a bin, and the one side of that is all the recyclable material goes in there. On the other side, all the waste that goes to landfill. So even when the gentlemen that come up and down your streets with their little carts, they don't have to dig now into the bin and dirty the pavement. They take, say, let's say the recyclables are in a green bag. Everything that can be recycled is in that green bag. So that can be taken, and they can take that and recycle. Then the municipalities come in and fetch, say, the black bag where all non-recyclable materials that's got to go to landfill. So that is the one project, and it's quite big and it's growing. Ecolini has already said that from July, separation at source is compulsory. I think all the municipalities throughout the country, again, municipalities have to be educated. There needs to be an awareness of what can be done. And I think right at government level, everybody is talking about it. My experience is we go to conferences, we talk a lot, but I think we need to have a bit more action. Another project that we're very busy with is that to try and save the trees that have been chopped down, many of the industries are saying no more wooden pallets. So we've designed some special purpose pallets for the tire industry, for the food industry, where all the pallets now are moving away from wood and moving into plastic.
That's
and a lot of other waste, like rubber. There must be hundreds of products that we make now in rubber, recycling tires. And so the rubber people are involved, the plastic people, the glass people are involved, and the glass people are doing very well at school level. If you go and look at the website, you'll see that they have competitions for children writing essays and that kind of a thing. On the My Waste website, we've also got games for young people, for children, about recycling. So that's another project. So this waste bin separator, which is a very inexpensive little item, every household should have two, and we think the municipalities should take this bin separator, issue it to every household, and just bill them on a single amount for a bill and get people to use it. And we think that's going to happen, but it needs to happen quicker.
Awesome. I think the bin separator innovation sounds absolutely exciting, and it sounds
yes,
and it's
so
very
a young
convenient.
Black engineer of about 20 years old, he used the initiative, and with us he's designed this bin separator. If you go to our website, you'll find it there. And you know, we are making thousands of these for different people in South Africa. People like Woolworths, Spar, they also and we brand it. Woolworths wanted a bit, and we branded for Woolworths. So they have their brand on their Woolworths, and they either hand it out to the public or they sell it at half price or whatever. So there can be schemes in the market or in the business world where the bin separator becomes an everyday occurrence. People get issued it or whatever, and companies get free advertising because the bin separator is branded with their logo.
Yes. And in terms of like advice for young people who might be looking to get into the industry, what would you have to say to them?
Well, first of all, I think they've got to be passionate about it. You know, too many people go into a career. I'm a mechanical engineer by career, okay? And I'm passionate about that because I'm mechanical. And I'm now doing a lot in the plastic world as well. But if young people are going to go into any industry for that matter, and more so the recycling and the concept of waste management, they must have a passion for it. They must say, well, why do they want to go there? That's the first question they have to ask themselves. If it's just to earn a living and a salary and buy a car and a cell phone, well, that then, go and do any other job or any job just to earn that money. But be passionate about the environment. Be passionate about the dangers of waste lying around. Be passionate about the advantages. You see, a lot of people condemn plastic, they condemn rubber. It's not the product or the waste product that is the problem. It's the human nature that's the problem, who does not clean up behind us. So young people must go out there, and also with the awareness program, they must get involved with all these different associations and what have you, and attend talks, and when they go into that as a career, we're working with a number of young students who have just qualified in plastic engineering and recycling management.
Fantastic.
And they're passionate. You can feel the passion. They want a clean environment. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
It definitely does. It definitely does. Thank you so much for joining us today. That was Stan Almendro, Marketing Manager from My Waste South Africa.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye.
On the other side of this, we end off our show. It is 10 minutes to 7 p.m. We come to the end of the show. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz. Business Buzz.
So we've come to the end of the show. We were talking about the business of waste management and recycling. Klingiwe, do you feel more inspired?
I'm definitely a lot more encouraged. I think especially when you hear, about innovations like bin separators, and it sounds like it's getting more and more convenient, and people have far less excuses about why they're not doing it, because initially it was the schlep of having to pick out your waste and separate it individually, or having to remember to put the specific thing in a specific place. But now with like things like bin innovations, separator innovations, it's like it becomes easier and easier for us to do this.
My takeaway, and I'm sitting with you, we're in the same WhatsApp group right now, but my big takeaway, I like how, for me, there were two things that stuck out. One, I mentioned it earlier on, when Jan is talking about the something that makes economic sense versus something that makes business sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is just, if you listened to the way that Stan was talking around this issue, and even Jan himself, there are some people that are very passionate about this issue of recycling. And I like the fact that Stan actually mentioned it when you asked him, what advice do you have for people that want to get into this? And he said you have to be passionate. Because it might not always make sense. And,
I also just think that, we need to find the passion somewhere, because at the end of the day, it's important for us to make sure that we contribute positively towards the environment. Like I said earlier, we only have one Earth. And each person's contribution matters, especially over the long term.
No, it does. So let us know what you think on social media. You can join in the conversation and let us know what you think. Klingiwe, how can people be talking to us?
Social media. So our people can get a hold of us on Facebook. It's Vow FM at Voice of Wits. And Vits Radio Academy. On Twitter, it's at Vow FM. Our hashtag is Business Buzz. Our WhatsApp line, 084-078-4912. And they can also stream us live on www.vowfm.co.za. They can also find our podcasts on the Business Buzz show on www.vits.journalism.co.za/business.
Otherwise, from myself, Mudio Mob, Justice Gavaza, Klingiwe Zondo, and the rest of the team, it's good evening and take care.
The Business Buzz. Listen to The Business Buzz every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. only on Vow FM. The Business Buzz Podcast.